This is EV Quest's news shorts, highlighting recent EV news headlines from New Zealand, Australia, and around the world. G'day, I'm Adrian Maidment, and joining me is Riz Akhtar from Carloop, based in Melbourne, Australia. Hello, Riz.
Hey, Adrian. How you doing?
I'm okay. Not too bad. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll start on to, maybe Australia. I've seen a few articles on sales being positive, so maybe yeah. we'll go positive to start with.
Yeah, it appears that way. There seems to be quite a few models available, and I think the last year what we had the issue with not having enough cars in the country, that's sort of changed, and car companies are bringing prices down. Polestar had an offer of reducing prices by up to $10,000 on some models earlier this month. So that's actually a pretty good thing, which means more consumers can buy them. And I guess they've got the stock. BYD still has a couple of $1,000s off their Atto 3 here in Australia. So yeah, plenty of stock available and discounts, I guess, to be had. That's driving those sales up.
I did read that the BYD wasn't bringing in the hatch Dolphin that had been cancelled.
Oh, yes, the Dolphin Sport, I think, that was originally announced.
Staying in Australia, what's happening with the whole standards, the emission standards?
The fuel emissions.
Yeah, what's happening with that this week? Because it's big news, isn't it? It's going on.
Yeah, they're talking about going in, having more consultation, and then eventually the consultation period will finish, and then they will decide what they need to do. The car lobby is kicking and screaming about how it's going to drive the cost of the cars that Australians want to drive up. So far their argument is not stacking too much. But, that's their job, to protect car brands like Toyota and the rest.
Yeah, but MG has joined other car makers in supporting the new vehicle efficiency standards.
Yeah, definitely. I guess brands like MG have electric cars that they can bring in that are affordable, and then they've got, a few new models that they're planning on bringing into the market as well. So one of which is actually spotted this week. The MG Cyberstar was seen sort of doing a bit of engineering testing in Sydney, which is good to see. So there's new models that are coming in by MG, so it's in their best interest to sort of show support.
Yeah, and just sort of recapping on the whole standards drama, it's because Australia hasn't actually got any standards, have they, fuel, like most countries have. Maybe changing tack, I wanted to maybe mention a cheap, affordable car in the UK, the Dacia Spring.
Yeah, how affordable is that? What did they say?
I read it's £14,995,000, which makes it the cheapest new EV apart from that Citroen Amy thing, which is like a little box thing. I don't think that actually classifies as a car.
So do you actually get a steering wheel with the Dacia?
Yeah. It's a 28.8 kilowatt hour battery, small 46 kilowatt motor, and the ability to travel up to 137 miles on a single charge.
That's nearly 200 kilometers. That's pretty
good. I don't mind the styling of it, but and they also said, it's not a completely basic thing, because it's still got to qualify for the European safety regulations, which means autonomous emergency braking, traffic sign recognition with speed alerts, lane keeping assist, yada yada, that kind of thing. So, I think, with the sort of trend of the prices of coming down, that's a good example of, I guess it's a base level car, but it's not I don't mind the look of that actually.
Yeah, I think we need more of those sort of affordable models. And, they've been able to get there before some of the larger companies like, Volkswagen and Stellantis and others that are pretty popular in Europe. So congrats to them.
Anything else happening in Australia is...
This week it's been a bit quiet. I guess everyone's quite sort of looking into what's going to happen with these emission standards. One big news that's sort of occurred this week is there's the federal government is starting to shake things up a little bit and getting more and more involved in EV projects. So a couple of the fast charging sites in really remote locations like Tennant Creek in Northern Territory, they've started to come online. So these are like in the middle of the outback. And these fast chargers were first announced as a co-funded project between the federal government and the NRMA, which is a motoring authority in New South Wales. But they were going to be putting charges pretty much every 150 kilometers around Australia along the major highways. These are some of the very first remote ones to have come online. So that rollout is increasing pretty quickly. So yeah, I think that the fast charging network is expanding very, very rapidly. And more broadly, there is just more interest from industry and car companies and others around the EV movement as such. So yeah, that's sort of the gist of what's going on in Australia. Anything new in New Zealand?
New EV story, a little bit left of, well, maybe not left of center, was that Meridian Energy is going to bring a world's first electric hydrofoiling ferry to Lake Manapouri here. It's a Swedish-designed Candela P12, which will provide transport for staff and contractors servicing the country's largest hydro power station. So that looks pretty awesome. When it's on its foils, it's supposed to have about 80% less drag than a traditional vessel, and it's supposed to be launched in 2025.
That's pretty cool. I think we'll transition to a real Tesla killer that has emerged, because we talk about a lot of the media reporting things as any car is a Tesla killer, like that Dacia we spoke about.
Yep.
That this one is actually an actual Tesla killer. This week, Porsche has unveiled its fastest Taycan, which it calls the Taycan Turbo GT Sedan with Weissach package. This thing is supposed to be doing 0 to 100 kilometers an hour faster than the Taycan Turbo S that was announced last month, and the Turbo GT will do it in 2.2 seconds. And just crazy amount of power. It even has this thing called an attack mode. So, you know, it for 2 seconds, it gives you like another 100 something kilowatts of power so you can attack and overtake people. Really, really interesting. It's lighter than the new Taycan because it doesn't have rear seats. And they've replaced it with more carbon fiber bits, making it 70 kilograms lighter. Charges from 10 to 80% in 18 minutes. And it comes in at a very Porsche-like price here in Australia of $416,600 before on-roads.
It's quite a lot of money.
It is a Tesla killer. In the US, it starts at $240,000. And a Tesla Model S Plaid in the US is about $90,000. So you can buy nearly three Tesla Model S Plaids for the same price as one of these Porsche Taycan Turbo GT.
I don't think I'll be getting one of those.
Just quickly on the Porsche, apparently their CEO reckons that since they've launched the new Macan EV, they've received over 10,000 orders on it in just over a month. So they think it's going to be highly successful. So they can continue to make these niche cars like this Taycan Turbo GT that maybe three people will buy in Australia and New Zealand combined. But, you know, that's it seems that their more popular model like the Macan is in the electric form is going to be very popular when it finally lands later this year in both Australia and New Zealand.
And maybe just on a bit more international news with the changing nature of the whole industry with the power shifts, Nissan and Honda have confirmed a new EV partnership. They're going to be working together, basically trying to play catch up with other players in the market, such as some of the Chinese producers. They are going to work together on technology for EVs, including components and software. Honda and Nissan, second and third largest car makers behind Toyota. So I guess a bit of a realization of the need to develop their EV portfolio.
So Honda's had a crack in the US with GM, and apparently that partnership didn't work out. The disappointing part about all of it is we all know how popular Nissan Leafs have been since they sort of first started to roll into our markets, sort of 2012, 2013, a long time ago. We're a decade ago now. And Nissan continues to make something very similar. There have been a few technology changes, but overall it's roughly the similar type of a car as the original Leaf. In the US, the Leaf is one of the cheapest EVs, under $30,000 US, and then it's eligible for $4,000 US of tax incentive, making it around $26,000 for a new car, electric car. But in the rest of the markets, it's not doing too well because it's quite a dated technology. So let's hope Honda and Nissan can join forces and maybe come up with some more compelling electric vehicles.
Be good to see they're a bit more interested, because I mean that's probably one of the downsides of something like, I mean, that BZ4X from Toyota is like, it's not too bad, but the, you know, sort of Toyota actively still saying they're not that keen on EVs doesn't make you inspired to go buy one of their EVs if they're saying we're not that fussed about them.
Well, that's right. And actually, one interesting fact, last year in Japan they sold more EVs than here in Australia. They sold nearly 88,000 EVs, and I think we sold 87,000. And the most popular, two of the most popular EVs were the Nissan Sakura, which is a very small hatchback, sort of like a Daihatsu type of a little electric car, which I think, Adrian, you saw at the Everything Electric show
in
Sydney.
Yeah.
And then the second is sort of a sister car to that, the Mitsubishi EKX. They're both the same car on the same platform. So the Japanese companies already do all these things. So Nissan sort of Sakura is so popular there, they can't make enough of them. And I don't know what Honda's bringing to the table, because they really only make petrol and a little bit of hybrid stuff. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Maybe they can join forces and make more compelling, smaller electric vehicles. So, and just on a side note, if anyone's interested, Elliot from Everything Electric has just done a video on the... There's a whole city where they make Wuling Mini EV in China. And it is the coolest thing I've ever seen. This whole city is full of these really small K-car like electric cars, and no two cars look the same. Everyone modifies them, customizes them, and they're these real tiny cars where you can fit two of them in one car park spot that we find in Australia. So they're happening in China, and I don't know if Honda and Nissan will be able to catch up. So worth a watch for anyone that's interested.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much, Riz. Thanks for your time, and we'll catch up again next week.
No worries. Thanks, Adrian.